Michigan. They got some interesting products. I saw them on Insta. And it's like a little energy shot. So it has like apple cider vinegar. It has caffeine from like green coffee beans. So it's like a little more mellow.
Mm.
And some other stuff in it. So I guess clean, meaning not jittery.
Yeah.
So I took one of those, and it's a little lower caffeine, so I figured just give me a little pump.
Yeah.
But no, there's a couple that I take. There's two pills that I recommend, and then there's the powder if you really want the full kick. Like, it's really made for gamers, like professional gamers.
Really?
Yeah, because it increases react. It's proven the ingredients in it to increase reaction time and things like that.
Wow.
Yeah. So they take it, and they, like, the hardcore gamers that play for money and stuff,
yeah,
and they, it, like, it lights them up.
AD, quick question.
You can use it for other stuff. Yeah, what's up?
Hey, when we put the Rhino up, do you want us to unmute you or just kind of let it sink in silence for a minute? Okay, okay.
I got a vision.
I don't eat unhealthy. Like, I eat pretty good.
Yeah.
You know, maybe next week better. I'll see how we feel.
If I'm ready, I'll go over kind of the men's health and hygiene show maybe for next week when we start getting prepared. Because I'm going to talk about, like, the three pillars of health. I think I mentioned it briefly, but sleep hygiene is a big one. They call it sleep hygiene.
Working out, you said sleep. Working out.
Exercise, sleep, and diet. And diet don't gotta be this extreme crazy stuff. It's just balance it out more.
Hey, Lefany, I think the music is low. But I know we're about to start, but I think the USB is low.
Shalom, shalom. Welcome to the Power Hour Plus. I am Deacon Yahshua.
You.
Officer Shia.
Uh-huh.
Officer Tobias.
We missing Malek?
Yes, we are.
Malek. Oh, what's that on the screen?
Oh!
Snap.
Jesus, take the wheel.
Is that an ancestor?
I think.
Yes, it is.
I think, well, what I was told is that some of the production team was so inspired after we brought out the receipts.
Yes. Mm.
Of who really was the father, who was the genesis of barbecue.
Mm.
Bring it out.
And they found this in some ancient archives.
Yes, they did.
They found this in some ancient archives. And it's a rhino grilling.
Mm.
Mm. I think it was prophetic of the future. That's a modern grill. That's a modern grill.
He just came back in a celestial body.
Right.
That's a mighty
spirit of the ancestors right there in the form of the rhinoceros, also known as the unicorn in the scriptures. And he's getting it in.
Where's the bombs at, man? Come on.
Hey.
Come on.
I'm going to let that simmer in on the screen. That's why you ain't seeing us yet. Someone said, really, already? Listen, I'm leaving it alone after this. Unless I get antagonized.
Unless
Judah starts to vex Ephraim.
And Ephraim comes out
As they have been in the comments.
Hey, indeed, to my recollection, I haven't seen a lion on the grill yet.
No,
damn.
I haven't seen a lion on the grill.
I ain't seen no lion. I ain't seen no hind. I ain't seen nobody, you know.
No.
None of that.
Hey, and that's, what tribe are you from, sir?
I'm from the tribe of Judah.
Right. So, yeah, but you have a measure of integrity and candor that you're going to keep it real.
Absolutely.
Okay, all right. See, I appreciate that. Hey, because now there's just been some delusional Judah. Anyone know what's funny? There's some brothers that's been out there, like, in the comments, talking about, what's with all the tribe hate? I'm like, it ain't no tribe hate, first of all.
Right.
Secondly,
it ain't no
how come it's all good in the hood
when it's Judah?
When it's Judah, and Judah crapping on all the tribes. And then we bring some receipts and we bring some factual evidence to the conversation. And then Judah get all in there. Their emotional intelligence. Their emotional intelligence needs to be adjusted.
Emotional damage.
Yo, and it don't even matter. Like,
There's some brothers that's been so delusional that I actually made peace last week.
Right.
I said the reality is all Jacob is fire cooking.
Right.
Yes. All of them. Yes. Right. Man, I had one Judah brother in the comments talking about real talk. Yeah, y'all may have this and that, but Judah will take any tribe's food and make it better. I said, what planet is he living on?
Bruh.
What planet is he living
on?
Oh,
gosh.
Ain't no, listen, you got to prove that statement.
Yes.
You got to take my favorite Ephraim dish and show me a Judah that's going to make it better.
Yes.
You can't. But like I said last week, listen, the reality is all tribes can put their foot in it.
Yes,
a little
they can,
salt,
right?
A little salt.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. Everybody could throw there. I mean, and I don't mean because some people just don't cook, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
But the ones who cook.
Yes, the ones who cook.
Yeah,
can definitely throw
every,
down.
Everybody can throw it down. You
yes,
know what I'm saying?
True.
So, you know, all praise to the Most High. Jacob is the salt of the earth and the salt of the meats.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Hey, somebody said Judah morning.
Oh damn, he said not in briefs. No man, it's a rhino. They don't wear pants. Come on. That's just to cover up any lewdness.
Right, right.
Stop it. Get some help.
It's a rhino. It's a rhino. Go ahead. You can take that off the screen. I think the image is burned in. I think
yes.
The image is burned in. Right. All of the tribes got the flavor and the fire. That's it.
I think Deacon's putting his contender.
Nah, man, I ain't doing it. Nah, the way Judah vexes Ephraim, I will not get a fair shake. Brothers is like, yo, throw down for the Tabernacles grill off and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I said, I will not get a fair shake.
Put the hat in for the belt.
Damn. I will not get a fair shake. It won't happen.
Damn.
Yep, I cannot get a fair shake.
Just wait till more than of the Northern Kingdom brothers come in. It's going to be a fair playing field.
It'll be a more level playing field.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't know. It seems like there's a little bit of back and forth right now with Judah as it is.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Right. So
it's
what
already.
If the rhino comes in and then there's going to be no...
Right. Jacob is the hot sauce and adobo of the earth. Right. Right. Yep. So all pray. Peace, brothers. Peace. I brought out receipts. People were still delusional. All right. We're going to move in a spirit of peace and harmony now.
Right.
Hey, I want to remind y'all, we definitely need your help. Those of y'all who have made it your business to find us exclusively on the Phoenix YouTube page, don't be quiet about that. You know, when the show's on, y'all can go right now, click that share button, pop it up on all your socials so that they know where to find us, all right? So that they know where to find us, all right? Share the wealth. Let the rest of Judah know that the rhino was on the grill.
Spread the word.
Right, right.
Spread the word.
Hey, we missing Malak today, man.
That brother ain't good right now.
No, he messed up. Send up prayer.
Hey, he was like you that time. You was eating all that fondue.
Oh, man.
Right.
Oh,
remember, he was like, I messed up my stomach after he went.
Right.
To that.
And that was the day before?
Right.
The radio show?
Right before the radio show.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, right. You're right. Deacon Abiel do got the belt. But what y'all don't know is all the praise Deacon Abiel be saying. See, just from the look of my grilling.
Mm.
Because I be sending my grilled meats to D.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Anytime I grill something, I send it to him, and he'd be like,
what did he say?
And he says, oh, man, you must have Judah in you. I said, well, I got nope.
Bro! Nope. Let me send you a receipt.
I said, no way. Yeah, actually, we talk about stuff we do for our recipes and stuff like that.
Okay. Mm.
Yeah, like we have discussions about what we do. You know, he's a charcoal guy,
mm-hmm.
you know, so he prefers the charcoal and stuff like
slow
that.
Slow cook.
Yeah, well, I mean,
the real
I do
question
slow
is,
cook with wood, but.
The real question is, when is he going to come visit us?
You know, I've been trying to line it up.
Deacon Abiel has never been to.
I didn't want them to come when it was real hot, but we had the heat wave. They were supposed to come in August, I think.
Okay.
We never did the grand opening either, did we?
No, we never did.
Nope.
We never had a grand. Well, COVID happened
when it happened. Yeah.
So we never did the grand opening here.
Mm. Nope.
A lot of people don't realize this is like a newer school.
Yes,
I know. We don't have that much time left in this spot, though.
Have to wait till the next one.
Yeah.
Make it big.
Yeah.
Lord's will bring all the Judahites that, you know, want to try the Ephraim.
Right.
What's it called?
Right. Hey, right.
Brisket, thank
that
you.
The brisket.
Yep.
That brisket.
Hey, yeah, Bishop Kanai too. We be talking. Listen. Yeah.
That's right.
When we get together and I'm like, yo, let's pick a spot to eat, me and Bishop Kanai just get on the phone real quick because we know you had to see us, but we was like in a fatherly son way.
Yeah.
It was like sharing meats when we went, you know, we go and we'll be like, all right, we went to the steakhouse when we were at conference.
Okay.
And he knows that he can talk to me about that stuff.
Right,
like,
right.
Because my game is on. You know what I'm saying? So we went in. He was like, listen, man, you know, I'm thinking of getting the bone-in fillets, like the ribeyes. Like, hey, well, you know what? Why don't you get that and I get that? And then we'll just kind of hook each other up. You know
what
I'm saying?
Right.
Yeah. That's what's up.
That's the both worlds.
Yeah, that's what's up.
Make sure I sit, like, next to him so that we could
try each other's stuff
and stuff like that.
That's
right?
What's up.
Yeah, so anyway, what I was saying is, was talking about it so much with Deacon Abiel, like he actually gifted me a box of some of the brand of seasonings that he uses that he put me onto. So that Cosmos, we were messing with that. So, you know, so we share recipes and stuff. Every time I do a cook, I'll send it to him and, you know, he'll send me some pictures and stuff like that. And,
that's what's up.
Right. So, you know, but I've been trying to have them come out because, you know, I want to hook them up. Like, you know, I want to show them what's what. Get on the grill, you know, let them taste for themselves in a non-competitive environment. All right.
Hospitality.
Yeah. I said there's too much strife in that cook-off, man.
Yeah.
Controversy, strife.
Right.
Just like out here in the West Coast, there's no dominoes. Let them know.
No dominoes on a feast day.
That's true.
Because game night, we was playing dominoes and stuff like that. You know
and the spades.
Right,
spades.
Right. I just, you know, we ain't trying to do that on no feast day. Right? Yeah, man. So, you know. We roll like that.
Hey, Officer Issachar, though, was holding it down for Issachar.
Someone said my hairstyle goes well with the rhino horn.
Mary.
I got the little praises. That's what's up.
He had that full rack of lamb ribs on the grill. It was like,
oh, yeah, Issachar. Well, you know, he's a Texas, you know. Like he grew up with that Texas barbecue stuff.
Yeah.
Someone said my last class was fire. All praise to the Most High. Now we just got to apply it, though, right?
Yes.
It's nice when the classes sound good. We just got to make sure.
Yeah.
We're applying, right? Because wisdom is application.
Not knowledge.
Right.
Knowledge
wisdom
is knowing.
Application. That's what we got to do on. Yeah, man. You know, and I probably could have gone a lot further with that, but, you know, I didn't want to. I mean, I had went over as it was, and I had to rush the last part with the contemptible people. I had some tie-ins for that with the other stuff, but I don't know. Maybe we'll talk about the contemptible thing on the show. I think that'll be good at some point. Right.
I need it.
Yeah, I think that'll be good at some point.
I had one of the newer brothers come in. He's like, you know what?
Yeah.
I think I'm a contemptible person. Like, we all fall into it somewhere or the other.
That's funny because Officer Isaac hit me up, and we're talking. He's like, yeah, man, I'm just taking down notes of how I can improve my – so after class, everybody starts using the words that you teach us.
The strength.
I got to improve my emotional intelligence, bro. And I'm like, yeah, what you got written down? So I got up. I started going over the scriptures, but then started going, like, trying to see where he's at, trying to tell him what he needs to work on. But after, understand, brothers and sisters, whenever Deacon teaches us, then we take it with us on a daily basis. And it's good. It's very good stuff. We've grown. We've applied. We've been embarrassed. We've been ashamed.
Yeah.
But it's for our growth. It's for our growth.
And, you know, a lot of times with these classes, too, it takes time to be able to actually really get it into application.
Yeah, it's not right away.
Yeah.
It is not right away.
What was that? Yeah. Bishop was talking about taking a moral inventory?
Yes.
Yeah, really go in and
it is not
where
right
you
away.
Can work on it. Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. All praise to the Most High. All praise to the Most High in that. Oh, gosh, there's Brother Machiel talking about we all want to be Judah so bad. Brother, man, yo, for real. You gotta
that's
check your spirit, bro.
That's a person right there.
Hey,
brother, go watch Deacon's class this past Sabbath. Examine, take notes, and enjoy the power hour.
Damn.
Stop it.
But we want baby Judah so bad. No, we don't, because we know that it's 12,000 from each tribe.
Right.
Right?
Oh, bring
in, order, in order for the kingdom to come in.
Bring out what you're going
right,
to bring
right.
out. Bring it
right.
out.
Yeah, how you make a statement like that? We all want to be Judah, but when you go up to the gate, what does it say? It says there's 12 gates.
Yep.
But get that real quick. You know, let's bring that out real quick.
Everybody want to be Judah.
Yeah, Deacon.
Oh, man.
He said everybody want to be Judah. Oh my goodness. Come on, bro. You need to slow your roll, bro. That's like nationalism. Like that's how the Pharisees were rolling. That's why Christ said, I came to break down that middle wall of partition.
Right.
Y'all got it?
Yes, sir.
Bring that out. Because first of all, we all come from Judah, all right?
Right.
We all Judah. Mm. So we don't want to be Judah. We all Judah,
right.
All right? That understanding is out there.
Damn.
But guess what needs to happen for you to get into the kingdom of heaven?
Be of one of the 12 tribes.
Let's read that.
The book of Revelation, chapter 21 and verse 12. Had a wall great and high, and had 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and names written thereon.
So all this want to be Judah so bad, no. We're going to be the best tribes that we can be, because all tribes matter, right? Come on.
Which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel.
Right. The gates are going to, there's going to be 12 gates.
Mm-hmm.
Which are the names of the 12 tribes. Not one tribe.
Right.
12 tribes. Mm. 12. And you know what? Even Judah got to go through the Judah gate.
Boy.
Right? They ain't no, like, special side VIP door. It's 12 gates with 12 tribes with 12 names.
And a lot, hey, you know what? A lot of Judah's going to get redirected again.
Hey, and a lot of Judah. Hey, and you know which Judahs are going to get redirected to get?
The ones that are hardcore.
The ones that are hardcore, like this brother right here.
The angel is going to say stop.
Right. Y'all the ones that's going to get the, wait a second.
Right.
And you're going to be so upset that you're not Judah.
Hey, watch
that you're not going to realize how grateful you should be to just get in the gate.
Facts.
Watch him. You go into the gate, and then you look back, and then the brother's coming in right behind you, and he's like,
hey, right. Natanya, I've said that before. It says some of the brothers, some of Southern Kingdom might be Northern. You got to get the prototypical look out of your mind when it comes to the tribes, right?
Yeah.
Because we know there's Ephraim in Africa, right?
Yeah.
In parts of Africa,
yes.
That they would look, you're thinking the typical, like myself or somebody darker, like a Carlos or Pedro looking brother. You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
What was special
when it comes
out?
To the tribes, you got to get that out your head. And remember, is it Revelation 7 and 10 about the mixed multitude?
Yes. Bishop was bringing out something heavy this past Sabbath. I think something about in Syria or somewhere in the Middle East. And then they said, we come from Beni Ephraim. But then look,
right, Natanya. Yeah, it's based on your statement that I'm saying that. You're right. I've said this before. Yeah. All right, go ahead. Get that?
The book of Revelation, chapter 7 and verse 9. And after this, I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues stood before the throne.
Right. And that also goes with Acts 2 when it talks about devout Jews out of every nation under the sun. So you know that when it talks into that mixed multitude of all nations and everything, I'm telling y'all, some of us, this is what we know now. You are what your father is. That's how you're going to roll.
Right.
But, you know.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Hey, so, and it's a long walk between gates.
What's that?
It's a long walk between gates.
Hey, you're right about that.
Like, I thought I was supposed to be a Judah. What the?
I'm telling you, them the one that the most guys going to be like, nah, man, what you...
The walk of shame.
The cherubim's gonna be like,
he's gonna take the walk of shame to get
you. You're gonna see him pass by, bro, and they probably gotta go in only one way. So if the Judah gate's like right here,
right,
you gotta go all the way around to get to the gate that's yours. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's like,
hey, look
like
at that brother that thought he was hardcore Judah. Right. Later, there he goes.
Right. Oh man, some people, y'all, the key is Israel.
Yes,
the key is Israel. Yeah. That's what we got to focus on. The key is Israel. You got something?
No, I was looking. I'm just trying. Was it 40 cubits? I mean,
oh, you looking? You want to see
how long of a walk is that?
Hey, you remember we did the class? Deacon did the class on it, and he broke down like the wall and the
distance. I'm gonna hit y'all something. You're unreasonable, Judah heads. Judah's mentioned in the Bible 821 times.
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
I'm going to show you how many times Israel is made, because that's what matters. 2,847 times.
Damn.
4.1 times more.
Right.
400% more times is Israel mentioned.
Mm-hmm. Damn.
It's good. Be proud of your tribe.
I love Judah, bro.
Be more proud of the nation that we are.
Right, because that's the whole point of Christ even.
That's the whole point. That's the whole point.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I don't know. 2,847 times the word Israel is mentioned.
Right.
821 the word Judah is mentioned. I don't know. You tell me what's more significant.
I'm just saying.
Right, 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 right. Anyway. Hey, let's jump into our marriage moment.
Abuela,
bring it out.
Oh, someone said, would it be a part two of the Sabbath class?
Well, you
said
the contestable.
Didn't you?
Part two. You know, what we might do is not a full part two. I think there's, as far as scriptures for the most, I mean, I could find more, but for the most part, I got my point across with
right.
the scriptures that I wanted to get. But the radio show would be good for more of the conversational piece on dealing a little more with
that
emotional
article.
Intelligence and the last article,
right.
The Contemptible People. I'll probably jump on that at some point on the show. Y'all don't let me forget.
Yes, sir.
Because next week we're talking about going into the remember, health. I've been talking about doing the men's – I want to call it like men's health and hygiene or something. I want to play with that as the title.
Right.
And we're going to talk about that. You know, there might be some – pointers in there for sisters too to hop in on that, you know, see what's up. Maybe you got a man that his health and hygiene isn't on point, your husband, and you might be able to prod him, you know, with,
right.
with some stuff.
Use
you know
wisdom.
Yeah, you
him.
Know, give him a nice little basket of some of the things we're going to talk about and stuff like that. That might, you know,
yeah,
that might be helpful and whatnot. You know, we're going to talk about beard care and grooming and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And,
hey, Deacon's got the counsel. Take the beard counsel.
Hey, I was talking about you with Ruvain and Raphael, and I was telling them we got to do, because I was like, I want to start doing some pictures for the new, because we got all the scents now and everything.
Right, right.
That we're about to release.
Yeah.
And I said, let's get some brothers with good beards. He was like, do a before and after of you. I said, not just me. I said, looking like Tobias's beard has come in a lot. You know, yeah,
yeah,
nah, you're starting to connect now.
Almost, it's almost there.
Starting to connect.
Yeah.
It's starting to connect. It's starting to connect, you know. So, all praises. I'm glad that emotional intelligence class was good. You know, I think that's a big thing amongst us as men, especially in particular, even more so in this walk is more profound for us to move that way. Emotions are strong. Emotions
are
strong. But like I brought out, wisdom is stronger. Wisdom is stronger. And it should be. And it should be, you know. Yeah, we could probably have some talking points about that. Because, like, how do you bridge that, right? I spoke about the EI, but discipline is really the thing that's going to bridge those two.
Right,
you know, stuff like that.
And that's the beginning of wisdom anyway.
Mm-hmm. And the contemptible people, I want to go in on more, because there's a lot of brothers and sisters that be rolling like that, you know, like the warmth, the strength, and all
right.
that stuff like that. So, all right, marriage moments, okay? He gave the intro. I like all talking over the intro. They're probably like, what's going on? Yep. Hey, let's play sis here real quick. Come on. Hey, stop. Hold on. So her topic is three things men find irresistible in women.
Mm.
Some of y'all might have tuned in. That sounds like a sensational title.
Right.
Damn. Guess what? None of them are physical, sisters.
Mm.
None of them are physicals. Come on.
Sis, let me share three things that men find irresistible in women, and none of them are sex.
Ooh,
number
one. None of them are sex.
Mm.
Unconditional.
None of them are sex. Hey, that's like the little Facebook link I show y'all today. I ain't going to show it now, but he was like, how, like, you know, these guys, if, like, the 7, 8, 9, 10s
might
rest with the 4s and 5s.
Right.
But it's just, you know, for the jump off.
Right.
You know what I'm
okay.
saying? Like, you're not really keeping them and stuff
right.
like that.
And that's
you know?
Why they get passed around.
Right. That's
yeah.
why they get passed around and stuff like that. Right. So, that's she said, none of them are sex.
Mm.
The world has taught you to sexualize yourself, sister.
Mm-hmm.
And you figure that's your strength, right? And it's not, right? Biblically, we're waking up so that we can understand that's not our strength, all right? Especially for y'all as sisters, okay?
Mm.
There's more, especially in this day and age, there's more profound things that a righteous man, y'all want those, you know, high value men, right? Those those top G's, those top gods,
yeah.
right? That doesn't happen because
just because
you're pretty.
Right.
you're opening your legs, right? That doesn't happen because of that. And even if you're in a marriage and you're trying to bring out more of the top G, a lot of the stuff that we're going over on the marriage moments kind of helps you with that for that understanding, because you can help foster that spirit in your husband if you apply what these scriptures say. We're going to talk about that after Abuela's here and done, right? Come on.
What does that look like? Even when he's not doing everything the way that you think he should, he may even be grumpy sometimes, but you still respect him as the husband and the leader.
She said, even if he's grumpy sometimes, even if you feel like he's doing things and it's not the way you think they should be done, it says you still respect that man. That's one of the most irresistible things. You respect him at all times. Run it back a little bit.
Like, even when he's not doing everything the way that you think he should, he may even be grumpy sometimes.
No,
but you,
when she talks about the respect, turn it up a little if you can as well.
Yeah, I feel like the levels have been low today.
Yeah, there you go.
Sis, let me share three things that men find irresistible in women, and none of them are sex. Number one, unconditional respect. What does that look like?
You heard that? She used the term. That's what I wanted. She called it unconditional respect.
Mm-hmm.
Unconditional respect. Give me that where it says, as Sarah obeyed. Is that in
Abraham
a...
Peter?
Yes, that's where it is. Calling him Lord.
The book of 1 Peter, chapter 3 and verse 6. Even as Sarah obeyed Abraham.
That's unconditional respect. Because you know what I've heard some wicked sisters say with this verse?
Hmm.
That, but my Lord is not Abraham.
Wow.
Bro, I've heard sisters say that.
You're not Sarah.
I've heard sisters say that, bro.
But that's why it says as.
Right.
You know what I mean?
I've heard sisters say that. Quote it and read it from the top again. Come on.
The book of 1 Peter, chapter 3 and verse 6. Even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord.
Actually, start at 5.
Verse 5. For after this manner in the old time, the holy women also.
That's the key term. Sisters, you got to understand, and that goes for all of us. That holiness was not in us prior to us receiving this truth,
right?
And what I mean by not in us is that we were not applying the commandments. That goes where it says, how can a young man cleanse his ways, right?
Yep.
Taking heed to that word. We were filthy, because to be holy is clean.
Right.
And the only thing that cleans you is the scriptures, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you have to understand that these, when it says holy, these were women that applied the commandments at all costs. There was no options. There was no conditions to it, right?
Mm-hmm.
We're dealing with that unconditional respect part that she's speaking about, right? Come on.
For after this manner in the old time, the holy women also, who trusted in God.
They trusted in God. The topic here is marriage.
Mm-hmm.
He's not talking about persecutions because you worship a Christ that's contrary to what the world says and all of that,
right?
Not saying that women won't suffer from that, but that applies to us as men.
Mm-hmm.
Because we're the ones that go out and teach and put our life on the line in that way. This is dealing with the husband and wife. So when he says they trusted in God, guess what that means also? That marriage even then had its challenges and was difficult.
Right.
That order and that structure was difficult. Remember, there was a lot of woman worship, deifying of the women, and all of that. None of that's changed.
Right.
We're moving in the earth and trying to change that to bring us back to that old time.
Mm.
Remember, it said an old time. Read it from the top again.
For after this manner also in the old time, the holy women also who trusted in God.
Who trusted in God in regards to their marriage. They trusted in God in regards to their marriage. Remember, this chapter, when you start at verse 1, talks about having chaste conversation, being in subjection to your husband, right? Go ahead, come on.
Adorn themselves, being in subjection unto their own husband.
They adorned themselves, not sexually, not physically.
Mm.
It's not. This is why when he says not the outward adorning, right, of the plaiting of hair and stuff.
Right.
When he says they adorned themselves, they adorned themselves. If you read up in verse 4, he talks about let the hidden man of the heart. They adorned themselves in that spirit of Christ.
Mm.
Because though they didn't know that it was called Christ back then, they knew there was a Holy Spirit that guided them. And they trusted in God and how he ordained marriage to be.
Mm.
What you read here in Peter's This is just the way it was written for us to be preserved to these last days. Sarah and them knew this stuff from back then.
Right.
Remember, when it says that they were keeping laws, it goes into when the brother that was visiting here, he brings this out. You don't read the laws until when? After the Exodus, right? But when did Noah happen? In Genesis.
Genesis 6. Yeah.
And it says put
clean and unclean.
Clean and unclean animals.
Yeah.
Which goes to show you what? They had to have had this understanding. They had these laws.
Right.
And what the New Testament articulates is exactly what you read in Acts 15. Let's hold that real quick because some people don't get
okay.
there. Where he talks about just teach them to abstain because they have Moses in every synagogue. Get me that real quick, right? don't lose me. We're still dealing with the marriage moments. But what I'm trying to get to y'all is that although this is the New Testament, this is not the first time, right? We're dealing with that old time. This is not the first time that this understanding was in the earth. You're thinking that issues in marriage is a modern issue. Modern thinking confounds the marriage more than it probably did back then.
Right.
But the answer always, from then till now, for millennia, is the Holy Scriptures. Mm. Right? So what you have to understand is that though that you're reading this for the first time in Peter's about this, they had this understanding there. I gave the example of Noah with the clean and unclean, right? But you don't read about clean and unclean until when? You get to Leviticus. Mm-hmm. Right? So it's not that the Bible's off, is that it was necessary because of the Exodus and our continuous string of captivities that this thing had to be written in this way to be preserved. It was all a plan, right? Go ahead. Get that in Acts 15.
The book of Acts, chapter 15, verse 20. But that we write unto them that they abstain from pollutions of
right,
idols.
Because who's he speaking with? Those Gentiles who were in a Greek state of mind. Right? So he's telling them there was a disputation because they were hammering them with all the laws, like the traditional, the ceremonial stuff.
Circumcised.
Right, circumcision and stuff, which you must do. And he wasn't telling them that they shouldn't do it. The point's going to be when we get to the end after he makes his point. But he's saying, look, what you need to do is not burden them with this, but get this to them because this isn't in them like the women of old time, like the men of old time, right? Go ahead. Read it from that top again.
But we write unto them that they abstain from pollutions of idols and from fornication and from things strangled.
Because those were the things that they had to focus on in that moment, right? Because
right.
those are the things that there was lacking in their communities as they were coming back, returning to the Most High. Come on.
And from blood. For Moses of old time hath in every city them that preach him.
Right. So, you know, Christianity tries to take this and say, see, you don't got to focus on this and circumcision
yeah,
and nothing else. But why is he saying this verse? Read this verse again.
For Moses of old time hath in every city them that preach him.
Right. So he's saying your job in that time
yeah.
is not to be Moses.
Right.
There are still Damn. Teachers that can teach them those things.
Mm-hmm.
I need you to get them in the right spirit by giving them this stuff and focus on the sense of urgency of accepting Christ. They'll learn the other to overcome the things that are in them. They'll learn this other stuff.
Yeah.
You don't got to overburden yourself and teach them all the Torah.
Right.
Right? He says, you can go ahead, and they got this in the synagogues. Read it again.
For Moses of old time.
Of old time. Just like we read in 1 Peter 3 and 5, where it says, in the old time, the holy women.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That old time is going back to then, right? From
right.
the beginning, that stuff was established in the earth, in our people, in those times.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Read it again.
For Moses of old time hath in every city.
In every city mm-hmm. where our people are, they can get that understanding. You don't got to teach them that.
Mm-hmm.
You focus. When you're there, this is the type of stuff that you're going to focus
right.
on. Right? Come on.
For Moses of old time hath in every city them that preach him being read in the synagogue every Sabbath day.
He says, so you don't got to sit here and give them instructions on every little thing. They're going to get that when they apply. And why is, and that goes to show you, because he doesn't mention keep the Sabbath as one of those things in there.
Right.
But he's saying they're going to go on the Sabbath to learn about those things.
Right.
Right?
Yep.
Well, and reading is fundamental.
Yes. And
it's like people are so dumb that they feel like if the Bible doesn't spell it out that way, that they must do this, that, and the other. You have to realize these were letters that were written with a context that if you open this without understanding, where's that other one in Peter's? Don't let me lose my point where he says, is it in Peter where he says that they do rest with the writings of Paul?
Yeah.
Get me that. That's 2 Peter?
2 Peter.
Uh-huh. What is that? 3?
Chapter 3.
Uh-huh.
And verse 16.
Start at 14 to get my point, all right? And don't let me – I want to circle back. Don't let me lose my point.
Yes, sir. The book of 2 Peter, chapter 3 and verse 14.
We're still dealing with the topic of marriage moments, but I got to – in order to really bring out the oomph of that unconditional respect, the three things that men find irresistible in women, and the example I'm using in the book of Peter's, all right, I gotta bring it home for you to maybe put some value on it to understand that this isn't a new thing.
Right.
This is the thing that's needful, and that's why it's being brought out, right? Come on.
Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent.
Right, such things meaning salvation, eternal life, immortality, the kingdom of heaven, right? He says, you look for those things, so be diligent. What? Come on.
That ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless.
Right. And how are you going to be without spot and blameless, right? By applying these laws, right? So when he says that you look for such things, be diligent, meaning seek him. Learn all these things, right? Mm-hmm. Come on. The topic is reacquiring our customs, our heritage, right? Remember, this is ministry going out unto the Gentiles, right? Come on.
And account that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul also, according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you.
Right. So he's saying, look, remember, Peter dealt with the Israelites that knew, and Paul dealt with what? The Gentiles, okay? Meaning the Israelites that were in a Gentile state of mind. He's telling you that those same things also apply to you. Don't lose right. This stuff that you got here, right? Come on.
As also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things.
He says he speaks these same things about being diligent that you can be found in peace without spot and blameless. Come on.
In which are some things hard to be understood.
He says they're hard to be understood, and he's going to explain why. Come on.
Which they that are unlearned and unstable rest.
This is the point. The ones that are unlearned and unstable struggle. When he says they rest, they struggle with these scriptures, all right? This is why in Acts 15, he said what he said. These were unlearned people.
Yeah.
He said, you're trying to give them too much that'll take them weeks and weeks of Sabbath instruction to fully understand.
Right.
So I need you with immediacy, with urgency, is focus on these things.
Mm-hmm.
Teach them not to defile themselves with this stuff right away, and the rest they'll get as they go back into the synagogues every Sabbath where Moses is taught. When he says Moses, he's saying the law. For the dum-dums that say the law of Moses was done away with,
right?
He's saying, no, that stuff is still there, right? Then that goes into the sacrificial being done away with Christ as that sacrifice, right? Go ahead, come on.
Stable rest, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction.
Right, so he's saying there's a lack of understanding in those other scriptures, in those things. Read on.
Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before.
So he says, you guys, since you know these things beforehand, come on.
Beware, lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness.
Because why? The bewitching of naughtiness, right? It undermines that sober mind that we have.
Right.
So he's saying, I'm letting you know that Paul's letters are going to be hard for you. Why is Peter saying this to these Israelites? Because one of the things they struggled with was, why are you approaching the Gentiles this way?
Mm-hmm.
How come we got to be all on this and you're not stressing them to be on this yet?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because Paul really understood that, hey, that whole thing of that if they commit this particular sin, they're dead unless they kill this animal, that's gone. Paul understood grace perfectly.
Right.
So he said they have time to understand these other things.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to hit them with 600 some odd laws in one day and think they're all going to get it.
Right?
The yoke of burden, he says.
It's the yoke of burden.
Our fathers couldn't keep.
Right.
And you want them to keep it now.
Right. our fathers couldn't keep it, and right. they had it from old time. And now you're trying to hit them with this all in one shot, right? So he's saying just be careful, be diligent, learn it, work on the things that are most necessary and most urgent for you right now.
Faith, mercy, justice.
Right. And then the rest, you know, you have that grace period to get those things right as you move along, right? You don't got to get the – that's like when you do those technical fields, right? They have apprentice, journeyman, master, whatever.
Yeah.
You don't get that in one shot.
No.
They call it a journeyman. Why? Because it takes time for you to go to it. So the Gentiles in the Israelites that were in a Gentile state of mind in Acts 15 were apprentices at that point. So he said, look, you just got to teach them this. So for example, you're an electrical apprentice.
Mm-hmm.
What's the first thing they're going to teach you? How to not get yourself killed with the electricity.
Right.
Before you fix something,
safety.
They're going to teach you safety first.
Yep.
That's what he was giving them when he said, abstain from this, abstain from that. The other stuff, you're going to get that through the course of your education as you return back to the synagogues every Sabbath.
Right?
And they put you with someone that's skilled.
Right.
They kind of put you, they put the newer guys with an older guy because older guys seem to be more cautious, more aware.
Right.
Be mindful of safety and the hazards. So they put you with them so you can learn under someone like that.
Yes. So he's saying, look, of old time, right? We read that in Acts 15. He said Moses of old time, right? Now let's go back to where we were in, was it 1 Peter 3?
Yes, sir.
Uh-huh. And start at 5 again.
The book of 1 Peter, chapter 3 and verse 5.
We're dealing with that unconditional respect, right? Come on.
For after this manner in the old time.
In the old time.
The holy women also.
Meaning the laws, all this stuff that I'm telling you now was there. That's why he says for after this manner, right? Come on.
Who trusted in God.
And after this manner, he's talking about the first few verses where he said their conversation was chaste. They were like this. They were like that, right? Yep. Come on.
Who trusted in God.
They trusted in God. They believed that even in the turmoil that they might have had in their marriage, they trusted in applying what God said and how a marriage should be, right? Come on.
Adorn themselves, being in subjection unto their own husband.
Right. He said they adorned themselves, being in subjections to their own husband. And let me point something else out.
Mm.
When Moses gave the law in Exodus, right, it was very formulaic, right? If you understand what I mean by that, is that it was very, it's almost like a manual.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
And some Bibles, they have it in headings, and it'll say laws on personal conduct, laws on sexual behavior, and all of that, right? But where he, it's laid out in such a way that that time in the wilderness was where they were supposed to perfect that.
Right.
It was the OJT, right? The on-the-job training.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Right. So that it was never supposed to be. Just listen, I'm not going to go deep into that. It was never supposed to be a straight journey into the promised land.
Mm.
Like a perfect walk.
It was never going to be A to B.
Yeah, you had to have the experience. You had to go through.
Because if we would have went into the promised land, even though we had the manual cation in it in our people, we would have never been able to maintain and establish a kingdom.
Mm.
Mm.
And even then, we had trouble, no?
Mm-hmm.
Almost every king.
Yes.
Okay.
What did they say? It was two. Where's that scripture?
In Sirach.
Yeah.
About
the kings of Judah?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
That,
I mean, there were no good northern kingdom kings. I'm going to say that straight and plain, right?
Yeah.
But for all your Judah ranting and raving, even when they had the power,
dang.
What, did they say it was two or
it's
one?
Facts. I got it right here.
Go ahead, read it.
The book of Sirach, chapter 49 and verse 4.
Listen up. Yeah. Sirach what?
The book of Sirach, Ecclesiasticus, and the Apocrypha, chapter 49 and verse 4.
Hey, and let me tell you, those of you who know me, you know there's no Judah hate. Y'all know I love all Israel.
Right.
No I don't roll with any type of partiality or nothing.
Right.
If anything, I'm harder on Northern Kingdom because I don't want the appearance of partiality to be there. Right.
Right.
And they're silly dove. We got to be harder on Northern Kingdom because I'm tired of the silly dove stuff, right?
Yeah,
yes,
yeah.
Right? So, but look at what it says about the kings of Judah. Come on.
All except David and Hezekiah and Josiah were defective.
He said all except who?
David, Hezekiah, and Josiah were defective.
He said all except David, Hezekiah, and Josiah were defective of the kings of Israel.
Damn,
someone said the volume changed. I'm bringing this stuff out. I think it's a setup.
It's a setup, bro.
I got Judites in the booth. They're messing this thing up.
Oh my God. It's Nathaniel and David.
as much as I advocate for Northern Kingdom, No, I would never do such.
Oh, snap. I'm Judah. Someone said if you ate four chicken wings and french fries growing up. No, if you put hot sauce and ketchup on it, then right. You're Judah.
Damn.
Dang.
Bro, he don't even mention Solomon here.
He didn't.
Because Solomon said he was almost in the midst of all evil in the midst
right.
of the
right. He don't even mention Solomon here.
Yeah.
He says they were all defective. Read it again.
Damn.
All except David and Hezekiah and Josiah were defective.
Oh, is that in that verse?
For they forsook the law of the Most High, even the kings of Judah failed.
Right. He said even the kings of Judah. He trying to let you know, don't get puffed up in that tribal stuff. Don't get puffed up. Because you only had three good kings.
Right.
He says all of them turn from God. Go ahead. What is that your chime in?
That's my chime.
Give it to state your name and rank and what tribe you from, brother.
My name is Officer O'Daniel of IUIC Phoenix, Tribe of Judah.
Okay. So, Tribe of Judah. Give me some knowledge, Judah.
Mikael is in the comment talking trash. I don't know if you've seen that yet.
Yeah,
I was just gonna point that out.
Okay.
Okay, that's all I got.
I'm ignoring him at this point. But somebody's going to have their conscience seared with a hot iron, they forgetting that it's Israel united in Christ, not
right.
Judah united in Christ,
damn.
Right? So read this verse again, all right? Because
Sirach,
and then we're going to come back to Peter. And the only reason I'm going here
damn.
Is because I want to make my point about the A to B. Okay, read that.
The book of Sirach, chapter 49 and verse 4.
Mm-hmm.
All except David and Hezekiah and Josiah were defective. For they forsook the law of the Most High. Even the kings of Judah failed.
Right. Listen, none of them were without sin. Remember, even David said that David committed that sin.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But they always leaned back on God. They trusted in God, right?
Right?
Like when we read in Peter's, they say they trusted in God.
Mm-hmm.
They were able to strongly turn back to the Most High in those things, right? Now, what I'm saying is that even when you read the law as Moses gave it, the point I'm trying to make is that a lot of the stuff you read in the New Testament, you'll find that law in the Old Testament, but it's written like a manual.
Mm.
In the New Testament, what you get is an expounding of it.
Right.
All right?
Yep.
You get it broken down by the letters that are there and the first Christ, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then the apostles and the prophets that you have here in the New Testament. The point that I'm making is that the law, there has to be a period of application before you grow up into that maturity. To know it is not enough. And what happens is nowhere did the Most High say when I'm going to lead you into the promised land.
Mm-hmm.
He just said, I'm going to lead you into the promised land.
Damn.
They had to be in the wilderness. And I went over this, I think, when I do the tabernacles, when I go over the three wilderness, which deals with the three time frames of the wilderness.
Right.
They had to spend that time in there because the Most High knew that that's how it worked. And that's why you see this is none of them except their children. It took a generation.
Mm-hmm.
For them to actually have the laws in them to then be able to move forward.
To the next phase of the plan.
All these scriptures are just popping in my head.
Right.
It reminds me of, like you said, if we were to go into the Holy Land, into the Promised Land right away from A to B, and then our first fall, our first mess up would be like our ruin. It reminds me of the scripture that says a just man falls seven times but
yeah.
gets backed up.
Mm-hmm.
And then it also reminds me of what you just said about the three wilderness. And if y'all don't know, Deacon went over this. He went over the wilderness in Moses, the Exodus. This is a current wilderness that we're in now and the wilderness to come. And it's just reminding me of the refining, of
right.
the refining that
right.
needs to be happening.
Right, right. That's exactly
damn.
It. So now, this is why he said they have Moses in the synagogue. He understood that there was a process as they were going to get themselves together.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't going to be A to B for them either.
Right.
Right? And this is why grace was necessary.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Because historically, that's how you look at how we've progressed as a people. Right. Go ahead. Let's go back to 1 Peter 3.
The book of 1 Peter, chapter 3 and verse 5.
Mm-hmm.
After this manner in the old time, the holy women also, who trusted in God,
right.
adorned themselves, being in subjection unto
they
their own husband.
They adorned themselves, is what he's saying, in that at the hidden of the heart, they adorned themselves
mm-hmm.
in the way they spoke to their lords, the manner and subjection they were into them, right? This is how you know, I know a lot of times we'll say that means even if you have an unbelieving spouse, you can win them over. we say that with this verse, but really 1 Corinthians 7 is the provision for that. When he's talking about old time, he's letting you know, because I've said before, this also means your believing husband who might be out the spirit from time to time.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
In Tobit. Mm-hmm. When she had to, like, remember she took woman's work and he was like, where'd you get all this stuff?
Did you steal it?
Right. And she had to remind him, like, you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
She was.
Yeah.
But do you think she was like, look, what's
wrong
off? With you? Right.
Right,
no.
Right.
She had chase conversation and how she moved in that spirit. Right. Mm. So that old time, all right, is what we want to deal with. Right. Come on.
Yeah. Verse 6. Even as Sarah obeyed Abraham.
So he's letting you know that this whole thing, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, because if I haven't heard sisters say it, I know a lot of sisters think it. Well, I don't have an Abraham. Well, guess what? What that tells you is that she had issues with Abraham too. Now, does that mean Abraham was off? No, it just means that she had issues with Abraham too, right?
Yes.
Meaning that that's a continual thing, okay?
It's going to happen.
Right, it's going to happen.
Right.
But you got to trust in God, just like the women of old time, right? Come on.
Being in subjection unto their own husbands.
Being in subjection unto their own husbands. Sorry, V6 again?
Yeah, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord. Whose daughters ye are, as long as ye do well and are not afraid with any amazement.
So, it meaning it's unconditional.
Right.
Right? Because read verse 1 so that, because maybe some people haven't heard it. Maybe we got to remind them. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on it. Meaning, she said, it's dealing with this unconditional respect that sis is going into right now. Come
right.
on.
The book of 1 Peter 3, verse 1. Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands. That if any obey not the word, they may also without the word be won by the conversation of the wives.
Right. Now go down to verse 6.
Verse 6. Even as Sarah obeyed Abraham.
Meaning that even, right, because a lot of you are saying, oh, well, I don't have an Abraham. He's saying the respect needs to be unconditional. Come on.
Calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as ye do well and are not afraid with any amazement.
Right. As long as ye do well in what? In giving that unconditional respect to your Lord, right?
Right?
When he says calling him Lord, it's not just saying it. Because there's a lot of sisters that will say it. They might say it to others, but not to their Lord.
Right.
Right? But saying it and living it are two different things.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That's it. You have to be adorned with it.
Right.
What they're saying is that respect always needs to be there. It always needs to be there. Right?
Can I grab some real quick?
Go ahead.
Get 2 Corinthians 10. Mm-hmm. And verse 6, because you look at 1 Peter 3, the whole chapter is going into, in verse 1, it says, and if any obey not the word, that's the husband not obeying the word and how he should dwell with his wife according to knowledge,
right?
So he may be out the spirit, but it says Sarah obeyed Abraham, you know what I mean? So go ahead and read this real quick.
2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 6. And having in readiness to revenge all disobedience.
So if they're not obeying the word, there's a readiness where that this is the way that the sisters can fight back spiritually and allow God to be able to help their husbands see where they may be going off. You know what I mean? And it's the intent for you both to get on track with what needs to be done as a unit. But read it again.
And having in readiness to revenge all disobedience,
right,
when your obedience is fulfilled.
So even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, when she obeyed Abraham and allowed God to be able to step in on her behalf, if anything needed to be course corrected, God is the one that's going to correct your husband.
When you look, your obedience is fulfilled.
Right. You look at the scriptures, when it talks about the adorning, not the outward adorning, but the inward adorning of the inner person, it's the same when it talks about put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. To put something on, you're adorning it. This is the same way where you're allowing Christ to be able to fight on your behalf and to help intervene spiritually. This is the power that the sisters have.
Oh, praises. You got something you want to bring up?
No.
Okay. All right. I saw you shifting and moving and stuff like that. Hey, Officer Daniel, I am going to address one thing. I saw you cleared up.
I put him on timeout.
Yeah. Okay. You gave him the timeout. For being excessive. I know we're bringing out all types of stuff, and he just causing confusion in the chat. Yeah. I'm going to tell you what that spirit is, and it's all right. That's why I said it don't bother me.
I wasn't going to bring it out.
I'm going to tell you what that spirit is, and that's why it doesn't bother me. I mean, I saw it. I'm just not – I wasn't queuing in on it, but I'm going to show you what that spirit is. Let's get Matthew 20, and start at 6. I'm going to go through this real quick because I'm going to jump back on topic. Right?
And for the sister said, is this just for those who are married? I came in late. No, it's for men.
No,
women.
No. Yeah. No, when we deal with marriage moments, it's, you know.
Right.
Everybody.
Welcome
everybody.
To the power hour.
I mean, at some point, you're gonna want to apply there. And then we were going in some other areas too, right, where we progress in our walk and things like that, right? But go ahead. Matthew 20 and 6. Come
the
on.
Book of St. Matthew, chapter 20 and verse 6. Yeah. And about the 11th hour he went out and found others standing idle and saith unto them, why stand ye here all the day idle?
Right. This is going into Northern Kingdom, right, waking up more in the last days, right? Come on.
They say unto him, because no man hath hired us. He saith unto them, go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, that shall ye receive.
Right, because that same spirit where you have brothers like Mickey O was just in the chat and all that stuff like that, that same generation was there then vexing the Northern Kingdom coming back in to the truth because they came later. It was like, but Judah, and the honor to Judah, and the honor to Judah. And listen, do I not giving respect to that?
No, not at all.
No, right? I'm like, are you kidding me? I would not know this truth.
Right.
If not for Judah rising up.
Hell
and like I said,
nah.
Northern Kingdom was not going to have that spirit. One, because that's not how the Most High ordained it, right? But there's an order to where these things are done. And you got to draw the line somewhere where that thing comes in. Because at the end of the day, some people, and this brother's putting on vibes like that.
Yeah.
It's not all about Judah.
No.
It's about Israel,
right.
And you cannot get that twisted. I think some people get props to Judah. That's where the king comes from. The scepter will not depart. I don't, all the scriptures
we
that
love
talk
Judah.
About
nah,
Judah,
we
right?
love Judah, man.
Okay, nobody was gonna have all my teachers were Judah. I didn't learn from no Northern Kingdom teachers.
Right,
you're lucky.
All my teachers were Judah.
It's all prophecy being fulfilled, though.
Right,
Judah
right.
had to rise first, and then
right.
Ephraim was supposed to push the
right. But watch this. Get,
we're at 8.
9. Jump to 9.
Verse 9. And when they came that were hired about the 11th hour, they received every man a penny.
Come on.
But when the first came.
Judah. Come on.
They supposed that they should have received more.
Because I'm Judah. We should have received more. Come on.
And they likewise received every man a penny.
And they got the same. We're all striving for the same reward.
Right.
Right.
We are all striving for that same attainment, right? We're all running that race for that same prize, right? Come on.
And when they had received it, they murmured against the good man of the house.
That's when Judah be like, but Judah. Mm-hmm. It's all 12 tribes.
Worldwide,
right? Come on, read.
Same. These last have wrought but 1 hour. And thou hast made them equal unto us, which have borne the burden and the heat of the day.
The equal is that we all equally have right to the kingdom of heaven.
Right.
Right? Come on.
But he answered one of them and said, friend, I do thee no wrong.
Hey, brother, Judah, Mikael, I do thee no wrong, brother.
Mm.
You get so caught up in dropping Judah. It's like Groot. I am Groot.
Right.
All I hear is Judah. You know how Groot will say something else, but everything is Groot.
Right.
He says, he's talking. You get so caught up in trying in dropping Judah. Tranquilo, Judah. Tranquilo, papa. Mami, I live on 5th floor. I don't know. I live on 5. Right? Read this again.
But he answered one of them and said, friend, I do thee no wrong.
Hey, brother, I do thee no wrong. Come on.
Didst not thou agree with me for a penny?
Hey, you had the same arrangement from the beginning. Your forefathers, we all made the same agreement when we all said amen in Deuteronomy in the wilderness.
Yes,
right? Come on.
Take that thine is and go thy way. I will give unto this last even as unto thee.
Right. You got to understand that. Okay? Come on.
Is it not lawful for me to do what I will with mine own?
Don't be vexing me because I'm just rolling in the spirit of the scriptures. Come on.
Is thine eye evil because I am good?
Uh-huh.
So the last shall be first and the first last. For many be called, but few chosen.
What we need to focus on is our perfecting of ourselves according to the scriptures, because all Israel's called, but not all of us is going to get through them gates.
Make that calling and election
sure. Right. So come on now. Anyway. back to Abuela. Good points on that stuff. For straight up, that's what, bro, all types of stuff coming out, and all I hear is Judah, Judah, Judah. Oh, you're losing the whole point of all this knowledge that's coming out, right?
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, run up, run her back from the beginning a little bit. Come on.
Sis, let me share three things that men find irresistible in women, and none of them are sex. Number one, unconditional respect.
Yeah, we just
what does that look like?
What does it look like?
Even when he's not doing everything the way that you think he should, he may even be grumpy sometimes, but you still respect him as the husband and the leader.
So that's right. Even when I'm grumpy. You know how many times, man, I'll be telling my wife, Bill, why are you talking like that? Because you're talking like that. I said, yeah, but I can talk like this.
Mm.
Your response in kind, it is not supposed to be that way.
Right.
What the hell is this?
Right.
That's not, stop.
A soft answer turned away wrath.
That's right. You know what I'm saying? Come on.
And the head of your home. Number two, self-control. No man wants a woman that cannot control her mouth, control her emotions, and control her attitudes when things don't go her way.
Stop. See that? Because she's throwing a fit.
Right.
No woman remembers that. So now he says self-control. So we want unconditional respect.
Intelligence.
And we want self-control.
Right.
I'm going to tell you the biggest excuse women use. Hold on. This sounds like Jeopardy.
Right.
I'm going to tell you the biggest excuse women use for that stuff. They're menstrual.
Yeah.
Oh, hell.
Yeah, that's a crutch.
It is.
That's a crutch.
They're menstrual. They'll try to run on that and use that as the excuse for their behavior.
Right.
Stop it.
Right. That actually makes me look at you even less because I'm like, what the hell? You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Like, guess what? I got hormones too.
Right.
And if I let my hormones – the difference is a woman lets her hormones run rampant, and she's just all emotional and in tears. If a man lets his hormone run rampant, he's starting a war.
Right.
Yes. Anger and
right, it's all types of other stuff, so we can't even do that. Like, we don't even have the right to like do stuff like that,
right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
So it's different. It's like we got to walk around in a constant mode of containment,
right control all that
right
power.
Self-control. What were you gonna say, officer?
No, you took the words right out of my mouth with the menstrual, but to add to that menstrual, crying, that's another thing.
Right.
That
right.
Crying is another one.
Yep,
that don't faze nobody.
They try to get you with the word. Now, a lot of these women, bro, because you know what? You got to understand, like, in subtle ways, they grew up to be manipulative with those things.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying that they're – I mean, in some cases, yes, there's mothers that have sat there and said, look, this is your power. This is how you do it. In other ways, they do it by saw it by watching,
mm-hmm.
right? And they figured, oh, you know, crying gets me this. Crying
response.
Gets you that. Right.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. Right? Right. The menstrual should remind them of the order, not let them be out of self-control.
Right.
Go ahead. Come on.
Maturity and respect, ability when you can control your emotions even when you're upset. And number three, teachability. A man wants to be with a woman that he can teach, that is willing to listen to him and to learn from him. Even if you feel like you have a better way, there's always another way, and there's always something that the head of your home can teach you. Learn these three secrets and you're going to find yourself irresistible in your marriage. Remember that.
Right. So let me get is it Proverbs 14:1? What sis just put on for you is this, sisters. I need you to understand this.
The book of Proverbs, chapter 14 and verse 1. Every wise woman buildeth her house, but the foolish plucketh it down with her hand.
Right. And you need to understand something. I think a lot of you sisters think building the house is the parts of Proverbs 31 where it talks about the way you physically
clean,
gather food, work, and all that stuff,
right?
That's not what that's going into. That's not what that's going into.
Mm.
All praises. Sis said guilty, no more adult tantrums, no more adult temper tantrums. All praises. That's you're up in your EI, right? You're getting your emotional intelligence up, all right?
All praises.
Right? Acceptance. And then let's give sis a round of applause.
Let's go.
Right. Where's the applause, guys? Guys.
There we go.
Guys.
Go on, that was a good one because it was like delayed. It started with one person and then
went up after you.
Right.
Guys. Don't leave me hanging, guys.
Right. I was like, guys, I'm like, what are they? Like, what the hell?
freaking accountability.
Right. All praise assist that you can acknowledge that and then work yourself on it. Just like we brought out in 1 Peter 3:5, all right? Like the old women of old time, all right? But that building of your house goes into what we read in 1 Peter 3.
Mm-hmm.
That's what that's going into. The building of your house, trusting God, right? Just like we can't build on no foundation except Christ.
Christ, right.
You can't build on no, it can't be the foundation of how you think it should be, how you want it to be. It has to be how it is.
Mm-hmm.
And when you move in the spirit of how it is, you're going to be able to apply that thing the way it needs to be. A lot of times y'all get it twisted and you think the building is going into that Proverbs 31 stuff, the physical part.
Yes.
Right.
I got to wake up early.
And that's not